from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, December the 29th, 2013. Carla Buttard is the speaker of the evening teaching on conflict. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
So, reconciliation, that's what it's all about. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, and see, it only took that one step, the one step. She had all with, I didn't have all with her. She had all with me. But I must not have known those scriptures at that time because I was just broken over it. So God said, go to her. He was telling me what the Word says. He is the Word. And so I did that. I was obedient to that, and we were reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:18, in all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So he's given that to us, the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, you see, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's why Jesus went to the cross, to reconcile us back to God our Father. He's the reconciler. The word reconcile means to conciliate anew, to call back into union and friendship the affections which have been alienated, to restore to friendship or favor after estrangement, as to reconcile men or parties that have been at variance, to adjust, to settle, as to reconcile differences or quarrels. See, one of Satan's devices, and that word device means purpose, intellect, mind, thought. Webster says something formed by design, a scheme, or a project. One of Satan's greatest devices is division. Division. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And we need to beware division. He uses offense, strife, presumption, misunderstandings, etc., 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 to move a person into unforgiveness. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. This is Paul. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it, I in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. An advantage means to get a hold of, on, or take possession of. That's the advantage he is after. Remember the story of the man that owed a fortune, who was forgiven his debt, then he went out and choked somebody for a little bit? It says in Matthew 18:34, and his Lord was wroth, the one who forgave him his debt, was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We heard this morning that you have your own personal hell. That sounds like one to me. If you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors. Unforgiveness opens the door to torment. Are you experiencing torment? Are you holding unforgiveness from anyone? Matthew 6:12, Jesus taught us to pray in his prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, we'll pray that, but we have no idea what we're really saying, because when we hold it from somebody else, he can't forgive us. That is a spiritual law. Not one that we were delivered of either. That is a spiritual law. It's in effect today. So remember, you are forgiven as you forgive. The problem, as being a human being, is we think the person is the problem, when it's actually a spirit using the person. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, when we can realize that it's not the person, we can be okay in our relationship with the person, but recognize the spirit that is the problem. And then, in your prayer time, deal with the spirit. Have you ever heard anyone say, and they call themselves a Christian? All of us at one time or another have said that. And the world is always saying it, and they call themselves a Christian. Remember, anytime you see a Christian behaving in a way contrary to how a Christian should act, it's not the person, but it's an evil spirit in the person manifesting and behaving badly. I've begun to call this the flip-flop spirit. It's not just unbelievers that the devil can use. He can use them. He can jerk their chain and they have to obey him. But we choose to obey him when we withhold forgiveness, when we take up somebody else's offense. It's the flip-flop. There's that side that is so beautiful. They are so giving and so spiritual and close to God and all these things. And then, flop, they can act like the devil. The flip-flop spirit. 1 minute they're walking in the spirit, next minute they're acting like the devil. Flip-flop. Peter did it. He got that great revelation from God. Said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but your Father which is in heaven." And then Jesus starts saying, "Well, it's time for us to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified." And Peter says, "No way. We'll never let that happen." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He wasn't talking to Satan. It was a spirit, a satanic spirit, but it was in Peter. So let us be careful not to allow the devil to use us for his purposes, his device. And that's why I love that Jesus has made provision for evil spirits or devils to be cast out. It enables a Christian to live the Christian life successfully. Boy, I was a flip-flopper. Goodness. I'm so happy to find out about demons because I had them. And I was a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. But I was schizophrenic because flip-flop. I mean, at one point, you have two minds. You have the mind, 1 minute you have the mind of Christ, next minute you got the mind of the devil. I'd call that double-minded. So what we have to do is deal with that spirit and command it to get out. Go to somebody else and let them help you. But you can do it. If I would have known that was a spirit, I would have said, "Oh, you foul thing, get out of me in the name of Jesus." But I didn't know. I thought I was losing my mind. Because I'd go to church and then get in the car and start screaming at my kids and criticize my husband. It's bad. Jesus says about believers in Mark 16:17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Are you a believer? Amen. First thing, in my name they shall cast out devils. Notice he says, "In my name they shall cast out devils." Jesus didn't say we were to ask him to get them out. He gave us the authority and permission to use his name to do that. And because the church has neglected this practice, the devils have just been multiplying and multiplying. You know, they can't reproduce, but I can reproduce. And if I have a demon, the little one can get the demon. So now there's two. See, they don't multiply, they just get in another vessel. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says concerning the church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And this is a powerful spiritual tool. So whenever it came time, now that I know about spirits, now that I knew that there was a lying spirit involved, because eventually I found out what the problem was, quite by mistake, but there's no mistakes. God, I believe, revealed it to me that in year 6 of our relationship, someone told a lie to him concerning me, and it was believed. And that's when the shunning, when everything began to happen. Oh, now I understand. But it's a lie. And we had been in relationship for 5 or 6 years. And surely I felt he would know me so as not to believe the lie. But sometimes that happens. So before I made the call, actually, I was just going to end relationship with them part ways. Like Lot and Abraham, like Onesimus and Philemon, we're just going to, this is needful because it's time for this to end. So before I made, well, I broke relationship, and then that prompted a call. And I wasn't there, so my husband said, I'll have her call you. And I was like, oh, thought it was over, you know. But I knew that I was going to have to do it. So I had asked my husband, okay, look, if, you know, I don't want to do this over the phone, really. I don't. I'd rather do it face-to-face. And I want to know, are you willing to go with me? Because I'll make an appointment and we'll go and sit down together. And he said, sure. So that gave me the courage to call. So when I got on the phone, it didn't actually work out like that. But anyway, when we began to talk, and see, when I would try to, I prayed for 5 days before I made this call, and I thought, what will I say? How will I say this? You know, the more I thought about it, the only thing that would come to me was the truth. The truth. Why do we avoid the truth? I want to know what's wrong with the truth. I even counseled with somebody about it, and they said, I don't know if that's a good idea. Maybe you should just tell them, blah, blah, blah. I said, but that's a lie. You know, I've been praying for 9 years for the truth to be known. I just didn't know I was going to have to be the one to tell it. Matthew 5:10 says, okay, about when the lie was going on, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. There's a challenge. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So how many of you know when that kind of thing is going on, it does not feel like a blessing. It's hard to be happy about it. Romans 13:9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and here's the one, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's what happened. Someone had borne false witness against me, and it was believed and even relayed. You know, I learned from the internet, you know how people send you things, and, oh, this is really, whew, this is strong. I'm going to forward this, you know. I don't do that anymore. After a few, and I would get back up, check this on Snopes, it's not even true. I'm like, oh gosh, that's embarrassing. Here I am relaying something that's not even true. But we need to be careful about that, especially when it can hurt a person's reputation. Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That means fellow man, countryman, or friend. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Work no ill to cause injury to a person's body or reputation. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now there's a novel idea. Honesty. The truth. Honesty. There's a word that defines it. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Good, literally, or morally, that is, valuable or virtuous. Honesty means rectitude of heart, which in morality is rightness of principle or practice, uprightness of mind, exact conformity to the truth. Honesty. Or to the rules prescribed for moral conduct, either by divine or human laws. Rectitude of mind is the disposition to act in conformity to any known standard of right, truth, or justice. Rectitude of conduct is the actual conformity to such standard. Perfect rectitude belongs only to God. The more nearly the rectitude of man approaches to the standard of the divine law, the more exalted and dignified is their character. Lacking rectitude is not only sinful, but reduces one's estimation of worth, purity, elegance, a disposition of conformity to justice and correct moral principles in all social transactions. In fact, upright conduct, an actual conformity to justice and morality. The lack of honesty can be rendered as meanness. We're actually being mean to somebody if we don't be honest with them. Fairness, candor, truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Proverbs 8:7 says, my mouth shall speak truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when I saw this problem was not going away, I decided, after trying to decide what to say, how to say it, the only thing that would come to me was the truth. And when it came time to do it, after the conversation was over, Mike said, well, how did it go? And I said, it was beautiful. See, there was the honesty. It was beautiful. And it was divine. It was supernatural. I mean, there were so many words I couldn't even really describe it, but I said it was just amazing. I thought it was going to be so hard, but it was like my tongue was buttered. I mean, the words just came, and they were seasoned, and they were, I don't know, it was just amazing. I bound the lying spirit that stands between, you know, I think I've said this already at this camp about the lying spirit. It stands between people and catches your words and twists them around. It's a spirit of perversion. I could say something and that spirit could catch it. That's why it says go and bring one or two others with you so that every word can be established. There's another person there to witness and hear what you say so that you've experienced this. I said thus and such. You did not. You said such and thus. You know? And there it is. And then the conflict gets even bigger. And it gets even bigger. So I bound the lying spirit, because after all, there was a lie believed. The lying spirit can cause you to speak a lie. It can cause you to believe a lie. It can cause you to lie and believe the lie. The lying spirit is a very devious spirit. So I bound that lying spirit before I called. I bind that lying spirit in the name of Jesus, and I loose the spirit of truth. That I can speak it, and I speak it, the ears to be opened and the heart to receive the truth and speak the truth both ways. You heard me say the tattletale spirit. You know, when Jesus moved among the people and there were demons there, he wouldn't even point them out or anything. They would just cry out. And demons will do that. They will expose their own selves. And sometimes I call on that spirit to help me out. And I'm going to pray for people before I come. Lord, I loose the tattletale spirit. Let those demons cry out. So, you know, it's real easy to pinpoint them and get to them. Let's get them at the root. So after it was done, it was amazing. That's all I can tell you. It was amazing. Haven't seen the person, but I know when I see him, I'm going to be full of joy. You know, not only, you know, the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But I learned that speaking the truth can also make you free. Because that it, whether it is still there or not, I am free of it. I'm free of it. It's broken. That thing is broken. Another interesting thing that I mean, examine yourself in the conflict. I had to really examine myself. One thing I found out, I had been a hypocrite. I had to repent. Lord, forgive me for not doing what your word said, so that I could have been free of it a long time ago. And the relationship, we could have been reconciled. That's what I really wanted. That's why I hated to even have the conversation, because my deepest desire was for peace and unity to be restored. Reconciliation. That still is my deepest desire. The other thing was, in fact, my husband said something that was just a revelation. I had to see that there were some familiar spirits at work there. A spirit around me. Actually, I have a cousin that is a nurse, and she wanted to do this procedure. And Mike said, I can't believe you let her stick you. And I said, well, she's an RN. And Mike said, yeah, but don't you remember the chicken thing? And I said, the chicken thing? He said, yeah, don't you remember when you were little? And I thought, oh, my goodness. I have forgiven everything everybody ever did to me, but I did remember the chicken thing after he brought it to my memory. I was about 9 years old, and we were collecting eggs. They lived on a farm, my cousin. She's same age as me, 4 months older, but we're the same age, very close, like sisters still today. We're like sisters. And so we were outside collecting the eggs, and he had a row of nests, top and bottom, and I was getting the ones on the top. And there was a chicken sitting on one of those nests. And I was like, okay, so I said, well, what about this nest that the chicken is on? She said, well, you can go ahead and get the eggs. I said, okay, so I'm reaching up there, and the chicken goes, and she just blew up, you know, and I went, hey, what's she doing? She's just getting up so you can get the eggs. Oh, okay. I reach in there, and I mean, before I knew what happened, she pecked about 20 holes in my hand, and I was the biggest baby that ever walked the earth. And I jerked my hand back, and it was bleeding, and I started to cry. And she's over there going, and I was like, how how is that funny? Ouch! I mean, well, I thought about that. I thought, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. She did that. My brother, who is 5 years older than me, tortured me for all the years we were at home. I began to see a pattern of bullying. Even we heard that teaching about bullying because I had so forgiven everybody. But see, I've learned that when you cast out a spirit, you need to be sure and get rid of the familiar spirit with it. Because the spirit is in here, but the familiar spirit is out here. So what I recognized was there was a bully spirit, a familiar spirit of the victim of the bully. Bully me! I could count, oh my goodness, the boy on the street, my cousin, my brother. Then I got in ministry, and by golly, you know? And then I thought, oh my goodness, I give leave to that bully spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ. No more will I be the victim of the bully. I know it's gone. It's not going to happen anymore. But I had to look at that. Now, you know, the person, I don't know how they were growing up or whatever, but kind of felt like bullying. So I even told them that. I examined myself in this. I saw the hypocritical thing, and I saw the bullying thing. And forgive me for not coming years ago. Forgive me. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I repent for not doing what your word said. I may not have known what that word said all those years ago, but I know what it said now. But I chose not to do it because I was chicken. I was scared. I was a coward. I don't like confrontation. But guess what? If you don't learn to confront the devil, he's going to eat you for lunch. It is said of the devil, John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We don't want to be like that. We want to speak the truth. We want to be honest. You know, now, if you had thoughts, I had somebody come up to me one time and say, I need to ask you to forgive me. And I said, what did you do? Well, I was thinking this and that and the other about you. And I thought, really? I didn't need to know that. If you had fought with somebody, you go to God with that. Now, if I had picked up on that or heard her say it or whatever, and then I had fought with her, then she needs to come and say, you know, I've said some things I shouldn't have said, and I ask you to forgive me because I really don't want this to be there. But if you just had thoughts about somebody, don't go tell them. That's not what I'm telling you to do. If you have fought with somebody, as I said, and you're standing praying, forgive them. But if they've trespassed against you and it's causing that in you, then you need to go. They may not even know they trespassed against you. But a trespass is a trespass. That's something different. It usually, a trespass is deliberate. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, among the unbelievers. When I was laying there praying about this, I said, Lord, what is it about us, your children, that we avoid the truth? We just put on a happy face and go on like nothing's happened. And that is, I said, no wonder the world calls us hypocrites. Because we are. I didn't want to look at that. I'm not calling you a hypocrite. But if you're being one, repent. Can you imagine how different things would be if we would just simply obey the word of God? So next time you're in conflict, give it a try. Try something new, like truth and honesty. Speaking the truth in love. Not accusation, not anger, not any of those evil spirit responses. It's easy to go to someone and say, listen, this happened. It hurt me. I need to understand. Help me understand what happened. If there's a blow up, help me understand. I look back on that. I mean, now that I'm free of it, it's so simple. Why did I just not go and say, help me understand what's going on here? We could have cut to the chase, and it would have been over. So when I shared my heart, they apologized and asked for forgiveness. I had already forgiven them. I just wanted it to be gone. It needs to go, because it is awful. So I look forward to seeing this person again, because I love them. They're my brother. They are brethren. They're family. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I had that on my refrigerator one time because that's what I want for my children. I want them to walk in truth. Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Conflict and walking around in hypocrisy is being polite to the devil, because it, that uncomfortable thing, is demonic. And it's everywhere I go, I see people that, I mean, it's, you can see it happen. They see the person. It's so evident. And if you think it's hidden, it's not. Somebody is seeing it. God is seeing it, for one. Okay, I'm through beating you on that. Now we're going to do deliverance. Okay. First, let's pray a prayer of repentance. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Father, forgive me.
For all the times
that I've been involved in conflict and chose not to deal with it according to your word, but to pretend, to put on a happy face and act like nothing happened, to act falsely, I ask you to forgive me. And I take accountability right now for my part in the conflict. Okay, so y'all have done your part. Now the legal right for all those spirits to be there has been broken. And so now I'm just going to start coming against spirits. And you can just participate with the prayer. Just, yeah, I'm a yawner. I don't even have to yawn. I just yawn and yawn and yawn and yawn. So whatever is the way that the spirit decides to come out, just let it out. You can take a deep breath every so often and blow it out. They leave on the breath. So I take authority over all the spirits having to do with conflict. I bind and break the spirit of offense, ought, being oversensitive and touchy. I come against strife and striving, combating, contention, go. In the name of Jesus, contrary, being contrary, go. Mean, meanness, mean-spiritedness, go. In the name of Jesus, all evil spirits, the flip-flop spirit, being spiritual one minute, acting like the devil the next. I bind that flip-flop spirit and command it to go. In the name of Jesus, opposition, spirits of opposition, division, upheaval, taking things the wrong way, go in the name of Jesus. Hypocrisy, the spirit of the hypocrite, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. I tear off the mask, wearing a mask, putting on a happy face, starting the issue, walking around it, pretending. I bind the spirit of the pretender, false presentation, and lying spirits. I bind the lying spirits in Jesus' name. Telling a lie, tale-bearing, being a troublemaker, a busybody, a perversion, spirits of perversion, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Bearing false witness, I bind you. Spreading a lie, slander, hearsay, Accuser of the brethren, I bind you and break your power. Character assassination, which is murder, spiritual murder. Character assassination, I bind you and break your power. The critical spirit, I bind you. Critical spirit, you go in Jesus' name. Come off the tongue, come out of the eyes, you critical spirit that's always looking to criticize people in Jesus' name. I come against accusations, finger pointing, bullying spirits, go in Jesus' name. Imaginations, sometimes you just are imagining it. A lie believed is fact. Presumption, I bind you in Jesus' name. Assuming things and presuming things, I bind you. Having no proof to back up what it is that you're thinking or saying. Hard-heartedness, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Hard-heartedness, go. Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment, go. Retaliation and revenge. Fear spirit, fear of telling the truth. Fear of being honest, fear of man. Fear of confrontation. Cowardice. I bind the spirit of cowardice and command it to go in Jesus' name. Wrath. Evil speaking. Gossip. Spreading gossip. Corrupt communication. I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Hiding from the issue. Skirting the issue. Walking around it. Walking around it like it is not there. I break that in Jesus' name. All pride. Being too prideful to go to the person. Pride and stubbornness, rebellion and disobedience, I bind you and break your power. Peacekeeper spirit, that spirit of just doing whatever needs to be done to shut the thing up, to bring the peace, I bind that peacekeeper spirit in Jesus' name. I loose the peacemaker spirit in its place. The peacemaker spirit, being able to go and be honest, loving, speaking the truth in love, and being reconciled. I bind grudges, holding grudges in the name of Jesus. All holding grudges. Carrying the torch. You know, I know people that have this in their families. There are sisters who have not spoken to one another in 30 years. Aunts that haven't ever spoken to others after one little something happened. Division. I come against division in the name of Jesus. Division in families. Division in churches. Division in marriages in the name of Jesus. Friendship, go. All division, go. Haughtiness. Haughtiness. Enjoying turning the head. Some people want you to see that. You know, it's a haughty spirit. I bind haughtiness and break its power in Jesus' name. I bind hurt and injury caused by conflict. I speak to deep hurt and command it to go. Grief and sorrow, go in the name of Jesus. Control. Some people control with their anger, control with their silence, control with their attitudes and their behaviors. I bind that spirit of control and break it in Jesus' name. I break it now in Jesus' name. You go. All witchcraft, that is basic witchcraft 101, is to control people with whatever it is you're controlling them with. Some people control people with money, some with anger, some with pouting. You know, I just bind all light spirits and familiar spirits of control. You go in the name of Jesus. I give leave to the familiar spirits of every spirit that I just called out. If the spirit is gone, I command the familiar spirit to go with it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to look at conflict differently from now on. We're going to look at it from your word's perspective. And I just bless the people now. I loose upon them gentleness and meekness. I loose upon them your grace and truth and love, honesty, openness. Lord, I loose upon them the courage to go and reconcile, be reconciled. I loose upon them courage to apologize if it's necessary. I loose upon them transparency, to be transparent and not walk around as a hypocrite with all these things hidden. I loose upon them the ability to forgive, to forgive. And reconciliation. I loose upon them the ministry. I activate the ministry of reconciliation that you have given to us. I loose upon them justice and unity. I loose upon them peace, understanding, speaking the truth in love. I loose upon them sincerity and boldness. And I loose upon them virtue and rectitude of heart. And Lord, I just thank you. I ask that you would take out the stony heart, that you would circumcise their hearts and pour out your love so that they can respond in love instead of when you're hurt. You know, I tell my children all the time when they were little, when somebody would snap at them or whatever, I said, listen, hurt people hurt people. And that just is an indication that there's something wrong in their heart. And it causes them to be snappy. It doesn't always mean that you did something. If you walk by the sweetest dog in the world and step on his tail while he's asleep, he goes, you know, and people are the same way. And so, Lord, I just thank you. I bless them. Lord, I pray that you would give them peace in their minds, in their souls, in their spirits tonight as they lay down. I loose a blessed and restful sleep, a restorative sleep, a healing sleep in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us binding and loosing. Help us to pray and ask, what spirits do I need to bind here, Lord? What spirits do I need to loose in order to bring reconciliation? Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.